I'm Adam Evans with the NIRS News. Victoria's treaty process has now gone live with the launch of the Treaty Authority's negotiation database. The launch of the database is the first official step towards treaty talks and will hold all information about negotiations, including who is negotiating, what country it covers, and the status of negotiations. The Treaty Authority will act as the mediator for negotiations.
Negotiations have occurred between a representative body in Victoria, it's called the First People's Assembly, and also the government. They established this body called the Treaty Authority, and I'm one of five members leading that body. And this body's an independent facilitator, hoping to keep the parties accountable and making sure the process is transparent and that they're playing by the rules.
That was Jabarung Mandan Authority Chair Jediah Clark speaking to the ABC. The treaty process in Victoria includes a statewide treaty as well as local treaties brought forward by local traditional owners. A survey of schools nationwide has found nearly 1 in 5 principals believe they don't have enough space for all their students. The Australian Education Union says their survey has heard stories of children studying in classrooms with sagging roofs and mould on the walls. The analysis found an additional 12,500 classrooms are needed this year across the country. Lawyer, businesswoman, political advisor, AFL commissioner and chair of multiple boards, Sam Mostyn has held multiple roles in her career. From today, she will take on the most important role, Governor-General. Ms. Mostyn has become Australia's 28th Vice Regal Representative in a ceremony at Parliament House, marking the start of her 5-year term. She will be just the second woman to take the role as representative of the monarchy following Quentin Bryce. Senior Labor Party members say the outcome of any vote in the Australian Parliament on Palestine won't change anything in Gaza. Senator Fatima Payman has been suspended from the Labor caucus after she voted with the Greens on a Senate motion to recognise Palestinian statehood. A government spokesperson said she'll only be allowed to return when she decides to respect her Labor colleagues. Environment Minister Tanya Plibersek has told Channel 7 Senator Payman has made it clear she's not going to vote with the party on the issue.
Senator Payman's sort of, I think we need to go back a step. I really understand why so many Australians are distressed about the attacks on Israel and the following weeks, the civilian death toll in Gaza. It is a very distressing time for a lot of Australians.
Discussions are continuing in Washington and across the United States about the possibility of removing President Biden from the ballot paper this November. The president has flown to the presidential retreat Camp David to meet with his family for a family portrait. The move would be unlikely to happen unless President Biden agrees to go. Former US House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she's confident Mr. Biden can still win the White House later this year.
Joe Biden getting up and taking the ball over the finish line. I don't say that to say that could never happen, because it might. I don't mean now. I mean in history it could. But understand this. This is really important for people to understand. Joe Biden has won the nomination.
We'll have more coming up next.
Hey, you mob, it's Naomi Moran, proud Bundjalung woman and CEO of The Koori Mail, our 100% Aboriginal owned and operated newspaper. Since 1991, we've been a respected source of news and information for our people. Whether it's an important community event or a focus on issues that matter, we've got you covered. So subscribe today by visiting koorimail.com. The Koori Mail is proudly the voice of Indigenous Australia.
Program sponsor.
The National Indigenous Radio Service, the voices of our people.
To sport and in the NRL, Trent Robinson has joined Wayne Bennett in calling for an overhaul of the NRL's use of the sin bin, claiming the sport must try to keep the integrity of the game. Adam Dewey and Apsai Corrissau were both binned against Robinson's Sydney Roosters last night, at one stage leaving the West Tigers with 11 men. Together, the pair became the 70th and the 71st players sin bin in the league this season across the opening 17 rounds. The issue prompted Bennett to last week urge the NRL to only use the sin bin for professional fouls and leave dangerous play in the hands of the match review committee. Robinson himself fears that contests are being ruined with the current state of sin bins. To stay up to date with the NIRS news, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, or visit our website at nirs.org.au.
There's a simple private and free test you can do to detect early signs of bowel cancer. If you're over 50, you should receive a screening kit in the mail every 2 years. You can also order a kit online or talk with your health worker. It's important to do the test as soon as you can. Too many of our mob are getting sick from bowel cancer. That's why I did the test and encouraged my community to do it too. If found early, almost all bowel cancers can be treated. Screening for bowel cancer can help you stay strong and healthy for yourself, your family, and community. For more information, have a yarn with your health worker or visit IndigenousBowelScreen.com.au.
Station sponsor.
There's a simple, private, and free test you can do to detect early signs of bowel cancer. If you're over 50, you should receive a screening kit in the mail every 2 years. You can also order a kit online or talk with your health worker. It's important to do the test as soon as you can. Too many of our mob are getting sick from bowel cancer. That's why I did the test and encouraged my community to do it too. If found early, almost all bowel cancers can be treated. Screening for bowel cancer can help you stay strong and healthy for yourself, your family, and community. For more information, have a yarn with your health worker or visit IndigenousBowelScreen.com.au.
Station sponsor.
Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Delhi mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev. Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. As BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Have your saying, yarn up strong, you mob. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional across the beautiful country of ours. Welcome Black, National Talk Black. Have your saying, yarn up strong, you mob. Don't forget, you can text the brother as well, 045-714-0550. And our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Keep your yarn strong, and big shout out to the First Nation radio stations across this beautiful country of ours, our Delhi Black Network, and keeping our yarn strong and keeping all our music alive as well, and a platform for our mob to have our say, all topics, and you can do the same here on National Talk Black. So that number, 1-800-422-416. Let's open up the program with Hope Vale. Big shout out, Hope Vale. Boom shakalaka. Do enjoy.
Keep on flying, you're too messed up.
love. It's Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turf, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
You got anything jingling in your pocket? Sissy, you got? Give, Gar. Please, Gar, give. Please, give.
I know, go back here, Balavish, say you.
Gar, look him there. Oh, my next time.
On the outer islands, waiting for the sun to go down. Mr. Steve Foster was passing the guitar around. He said, "Hey, fella, can you sing us a song?" I ended up singing all night long. "That's okay, I love to play, but understand the message when you hear me say it's thirsty work. Thirsty work. You can blame it on the heat, blame it on the rain, it's thirsty work all the same. We're on Thursday Island, waiting for the gig to begin. Russell is ready, Izzy is wearing a grin. Then we heard,
"Hey, three amigos, sing us a song."
So we ended up singing all night long. "That's okay, we love to play, but understand the message when you hear us say it's thirsty work. Thirsty work. Blame it on the heat, blame it on the rain. It's thirsty work for the same. Thirsty work. Thirsty work. Blame it on the heat or blame it on the rain. Thirsty work all the same."
We'll be right back.
feel the endlessness with the coming of the light of day. They're talking about a chosen place. They want to sell it in a marketplace. Look out. Just a minute now. Standing on
solid rock, standing on sacred ground, living on borrowed time, and the winds of change blowing down the line.
Right down that line. Dreaming all again. Proud people come living in a promised land, running for a heart of darkness, searching for a heart of light. This could be paradise. Standing
Deadly track there, Solid Rock. So David Hudson, Shane Howard here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, Yarn with the ball. I'm Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns and Yidindi country. That's BB and Bumba Rip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National's Radio Service. All right, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Uncle JT, 105 FM McKay, who's in Cairns and here with me in the studio. And a very good morning, Michael. How are you? How are you going?
Good morning.
Good to see you. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from, Uncle.
Well, in short, 60 seconds, my father's come from the Bardo Islands, my mother from South Sea, my grandfather from Malaysia, so I'm a bit of a mix-up.
Yeah. Fruit salad.
Fruit salad. But, yes, I'm in Mackay there, mate.
You are in Mackay. Now, you're with My 105 FM.
That's right.
A big shout-out to the Mackay mob there. And you do your program. Tell the mob the program that you do, Uncle.
On a Wednesday night, which you're happy to be on board with us, Bump and Never requests from 6 o'clock to 8.
Yes.
And my Friday night, and I got a Saturday program, but that's pre-recorded.
Yes.
There.
Okay.
And thanks to, you know, your support up here, you and Jackie, and the early days, even going back.
Team effort.
Team effort.
Team effort. And how long you been on air, Uncle?
Well, I think, except a couple of years off for health reasons. 2 years going to Curtin University. Probably all up 10 or 12. Yeah. I'll be on the air. But
10 or 12.
Yeah, we had Steve Kent there, the man. He's gone now.
Yeah.
But, I think the only trouble is I'm not, I'm not technology up to speed with anything, you know. So
just press the buttons. You got it. You've been doing it a while.
And that's right. And when it breaks down, I just walk home.
Yeah, thank you. That's right. Leave it there. And look, you're the, Brown Bulliard version of me and Mackay.
Yeah.
And I'm the Cairns version of you. Look, it's a great industry. It's a great tool, great vehicle.
Yeah.
When we're talking radio, yeah, for our Mob Dabby Arm, play our deadly music. But we also promote our First Nation artists as well, don't we?
That's right. And I think to watch with us down, Mackay, our experience, and a big hi to Chazza down there. She's been on sick leave. She's been on holidays. And, she's struggling there to help us keep us afloat and keep it in tune, keep in contact with yous up here.
Exactly.
But I'd congratulations. I know I've done it the air down there many times. Every week I talk your name when I introduce you on 7 o'clock about Trendy Trev.
Trendy Trev, Murray from
the councillor.
New elect councillor for Cairns Regional Council, first Indigenous person ever.
Yeah, that's right.
Happy to hold that flag for my mob. And it wasn't the reason why I was running. I didn't really know that wasn't the case. But
and great for all the Murrays up here. You know,
yeah,
everywhere.
Represent.
You mentioned Mr. Hudson. He's
David Hudson, yeah, just played that daily track there, Solid Rock.
He's coming to Mackay.
He's on the road doing road show
we
at
got
the moment.
I think we've got 20 tickets giveaway down there.
Oh, there you go. Good. Mm. Yeah, seen his show up here. Look at David. Entertainer, and
it's a shame he wasn't around when he first went in the early days, but he didn't have to go anywhere in the early days.
No, he didn't.
He just up in Caranda, Mariba, Cairns.
Well, exactly. And he was the co-founder of Japakai, Japakai Aboriginal.
Yeah, he didn't have to go nowhere.
No, too deadly. And he did a bit of work there in Alice Springs and WA, but he cans high loud as well. But Uruman up there near Mount Surprise on the table, and that's all his mob. But David Hudson's on the road, your mob. So check it out and see his performance wherever you are. But he's going to be Mackay. If you mob there, Mackay, listening, look, you can pick up tickets for David Hudson. Just listen to my 105 FM.
And don't forget my old mate there, Mary G.
Mary G. Big shout out, Mary G. Too deadly. And Mary G comes on after you finish your program.
That's right. Yeah, we promote that. Yeah. We'll just make sure then. You know, and just have a good night. Good day, yeah. And I've met him 3 or 5 times over the last 20, 30 years. So different places, Northern Territory,
exactly.
West Australia.
Get around, Mary G. Good way.
Good way, yeah. Or laugh, make you laugh.
Exactly. Now, you're here in Cairns, are you here holidaying or catching
I come
up
down
or?
For the headstone opening of late Rima Bindawal, or Stafford, that's the thing. And that was on. That was on Saturday, just gone Saturday, but unfortunately I had to attend the funeral of Cleveland Flagan.
Yeah, look
on the Thursday.
Exactly, and look, condolences, love, and wishes going out to Ruth and the family. And very sad. We lost a very active black man there in the health industry, and he's gone too soon, my brother.
Yes, and I suppose. You know, all the, the pacemaker, all the warriors and ladies and men in the past, you know, they might be, I see a lot of them there at the service. And when I looked at it, it made me a little sad because not so long ago, you know, they were the voice.
Yeah, exactly.
For everyone, you know, Aboriginal, Torres Strait or whatever, you know.
Sure. Well, time waits for no one, eh, brother? And look, probably a message there going out to everybody, live your life to the fullest.
You know, because he was only 55.
Very young. Very young brother, yeah. So you're here for, and how long you...
Well, they did all that accident down south, the train.
Oh, yeah, condolences with the Greyhound bus accident.
Yeah.
I lost three people.
Train
there.
Was supposed to leave 9:30, it's leaving after dinner or 2 or 3 o'clock or whatever.
Yeah.
So that'll be about 6-7 hours late. I'll be in Mackay early in the morning.
Just in time for nightclub, eh, Uncle?
Well, probably, yeah. I don't have to pay to go in. I'll be
That's right, exactly. Look, good to catch up with you, and thank you for dropping in and say hello, and a big shout-out to all the mob there at Mackay 105 FM, and we'll hear your voice, but good to see you in person. We'll hear your voice on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough for my niece, and they work from home, and they both work from home and in the office, Broden and Sawyer, and I said, I'll give you a wrap-up around about the 7:40 mark after on Wednesday night.
Wednesday night.
Yeah.
To Delhi. Well, all the best here. You travel safe, and we yarn soon.
Yeah, and same you and Jackie and the crew and staff. Thanks, Maddie, and looking after me and Ruby on Friday.
Friday, beautiful.
Yeah. Okay.
You keep smiling. Take care, Uncle. All right. To Delhi. Beautiful yarn there with Uncle JT, my 105 FM, okay. Big shout out to your mob down that way. Good to have Delhi Uncle JT with us. Join us here in the show in person, and great to be yarning with him. But this is your Delhi program, National Talk Black. Have your saying yarn up strong. Delhi number here, 1-800-422-416. Yarning with the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your Delhi program, National Talk Black, a 1 hour program. So do add to the conversation, all topics, all ears here on your Delhi program, National Talk Black. Do Delhi.
Can't you understand? Tanya Mob, it's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran!
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
There's a cozy breeze blowing, I'm sitting on the beach, just waiting for the tide to drop away. Some people are casting their nets for sardines, colariari, costu penpai, cosa for bay, costu penpai, cosa for bay. The water is as smooth as blue satin silk, looks inviting in the heat of the day.
Yeah, Delhi track there, Tabanabe King Kadu here on your Delhi program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yan Upstrong, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yan, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and New Dindi Country as BBM Bumbo Brit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yan Upstrong, your mob, too, Delhi. All right, new report reveals real solutions to the escalating wellbeing crisis in schools. A new report release showcases innovative solutions to address children's well-being that are transforming disadvantaged Australian classrooms. Yet greater support to roll these out to more students and teachers is needed. We're talking about the Every Child, Every Opportunity report reveals children's well-being has become the highest priority. And look, we're going to catch up with Yarn now with Cheryl Nixon, CEO of Australian Schools Plus. And got Cheryl online. Cheryl, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Well, thank you.
Where are you based, Cheryl?
I'm based in Sydney.
In Sydney. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So we're talking about escalating a wellbeing crisis in schools. So, look, it takes a community to raise a child, and that's all facets. And education, very important platform. A lot of work to be done, so we're probably screaming out for more teachers, yes?
Well, I think what we know is that children's wellbeing is so critical to children and to Australia's future, as you say. Mm. And really, without that bedrock of positive wellbeing and mental health, our kids just simply can't learn at their best, learn to their potential and thrive. But we're just seeing these issues around children's wellbeing escalate and worsen. And so it's not so much a matter of needing more teachers, but making sure our teachers are really well equipped to be able to respond well and identify those issues that that their children are facing. That's one of the things that that we're seeing the need for, because teachers are just telling us that they're not equipped well enough to be able to do that.
Mm. So we're talking about the spirit sense in their mind and regarding self-love and all that. Would that be in the equation as such?
I think what we're seeing is amongst our children is kind of rising anxiety levels.
Okay.
Obviously, they're children who have quite traumatic backgrounds and you know, there's a lack of resilience, and it's showing up in the classroom as negative behaviour sometimes, or just disengagement from their learning, and even absenteeism and, you know, declining attendance as well, and sometimes even school refusal.
Sure.
So it is about, I think what we're seeing is the need to build children's social and emotional skills.
Mm-hmm.
About half of the applications that we see seeking help for wellbeing initiatives do want to do exactly that. So just making sure the kids have skills around regulating and managing their emotions and their behaviour, being able to form really healthy relationships, having that self-care, that self-confidence and self-esteem, so that they, you know, do feel really confident, and that leads to an ability to, you know, be able to engage in their learning and achieve well.
Cheryl, are we probably saying adding more to the education system in regard to teachers when they're going through university, like extra support and that degree, or extra subjects, and help them get over the line?
I think that's definitely one of the issues. I mean, certainly teachers who've been in the system a long time tell us that, you know, they haven't had the training. Mm. They're not that well equipped to be able to deal with this.
Exactly.
They try their hardest, right? I mean, we've got to acknowledge our teachers are absolute, you know, heroes in the classroom. Yes, they are. Certainly saw that through COVID as well. I mean, they work very hard and they have our children's best interests at heart.
Mm.
But the role of a teacher has become more complex over the years. And you know, what people, you know, what we know is that that this is a fundamental thing to take care of in the classroom now, the children's well-being. It's not just about teaching, you know, the curriculum. Without being able to attend to children's well-being needs, the kids won't be able to engage in that curriculum and learn well.
Well, maybe the government probably need to invest in having extra teachers in there for this particular area for our kids.
Yeah, a couple of things that we've seen have worked really well, as well as the extra professional development for teachers, so they do have those skills and do feel equipped. We've seen this interesting role that some schools have been able to introduce that we've kind of co-designed with those schools. So we call it a wellbeing navigator role, and it looks a bit different depending on the community. But it's a role where someone is completely dedicated to being that kind of connector or navigator, working with students, teachers and families to connect them with services in their community, with health professionals in their community.
Mm.
And another solution that we've seen work extremely well is where schools have been able to establish a wellbeing hub. And what this means is they actually set aside some space and some time, bring in a doctor, a GP,
yep,
or a paediatrician, a psychologist, social workers, or allied health professionals like speech therapists into the school, so the kids can have really quick and easy and safe access to those health professionals.
Now, schools would have budget for that, would they not?
So some schools are able to manage their budget so they can do this. But we're a national not-for-profit that partners with schools in disadvantaged communities to create education opportunities like this with the support of a philanthropic community. So we receive donations and support from corporates, trusts and foundations and individuals, and in turn we partner with schools in disadvantaged communities to enable them to really embark down the path of some of these solutions so that their kids are able to thrive at school. So what we're doing now is calling on government,
yes,
and the philanthropic community to provide further support. So these solutions, these strategies that we've seen work well in a number of schools can be expanded to many, many more schools across the country.
Yeah, look, fantastic. As I said, it needs the community to raise a child, so we're all in this together, are we not, Cheryl?
Yeah, absolutely right. And it's so vital, I think, to be able to address these wellbeing needs and make sure that kids do have that confidence and that, you know, that excitement about their future and those aspirations for their future so that they can really thrive and you know, live to their potential.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much for sharing. Good luck with all. Please do keep in touch. Australian School Plus CEO, Cheryl Nixon, all the best to you and your team, and we'll yarn soon.
Terrific. Thank you so much for your time, and all the best to you and your community too. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. A deadly yarn there. Cheryl Nixon, her name is CEO of Australian School Plus, and we're talking about alarming nearly half of schools in Australia, 48% seeking support from School Plus, now identified well-being as their highest priority, up to 31% in 2018. In fact, half, 49% of all well-being-focused applications in 2023 identified the need to build children's social and emotional skills so they can manage their emotions and behaviour and build healthy relationships. So we're talking about how here's the line where we start the kids. Well, some of the kids are coming well before the line, so to speak, so need to bring them up to par. And like I said, government investment there, not expense, investment, and the support the teachers as well. They're not equipped with this sort of information, you know. So it is a team effort. Need to look at it very seriously. We're talking about a platform education for our kids and a strong platform at that so they can build their vision for their future as well. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Walk out my door, it's a beautiful day. I feel like taking the kids and the country today. Oh,
Jenda Banapi Bamanda, Jenda Bakajanda Bamanda. We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
Your mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie. Come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumber Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. All right, now we're going to catch up a yarn over Dr. Vivek Bahadri, a medical oncologist, talking about critical work needed to advance patients diagnosed with sarcoma. So in line with Sarcoma Awareness Month, that's this month, July 2024, the Australian and New Zealand Sarcoma Association, that's ANZA, is spotlighting the importance of ongoing research, funding and clinical trials to advance patient outcomes in the fight against sarcoma. And we do have Dr. Vivek on the line. Doctor, good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Where are you based, Doctor?
In Sydney.
In Sydney. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Can you first enlighten us, sarcoma, the disease, please?
Sure. So sarcoma is a rare cancer that can actually affect people of all ages, children, young adults, and older adults. And they are cancers that affect, that arise from bone and soft tissue. So soft tissue such as muscles, fat, cartilage, and tendons.
And this is a rare sort of cancer, is it?
Yeah, no, this is rare. So most people have heard of breast cancer, prostate cancer, lung cancer, and very few people have actually heard of sarcoma.
Yeah.
So they are rare. There's only about 2,500 people diagnosed each year in Australia with sarcoma.
And is it terminal?
Well, most, to be honest, about two-thirds to three-quarters of patients with sarcoma are cured.
Okay.
So we're pretty good with some people, but there are, unfortunately, some patients who come to us quite late, where the tumours have already spread to other parts of the body. Treating those patients is more difficult, and a lot of those patients don't survive. We are able to cure probably about two-thirds to three-quarters of patients.
Okay, yep. Now, we're talking about critical work needed to advance patients diagnosed with sarcoma. What sort of work are we talking about, Doctor?
Yeah, sure. So we have at our disposal surgery, radiotherapy and chemotherapy, and we try to put in place things that a treatment plan individualized to each patient. But we know that the only way that we can actually get better is by doing more clinical trials where we try novel therapies, new chemotherapies, new ways of doing things to see if we can do better than what we're currently doing. And so what we are trying a lot within the sarcoma community across Australia is running clinical trials to try and see if we can do better.
And it's not discriminative. It takes young or old.
That's right. So, you know, we can see sarcoma in infants, babies, less than 1 year olds, all the way up to patients in their 80s and 90s.
Wow.
It does not discriminate by age.
Sure.
In fact,
yeah.
To be honest, it's actually more common as a proportion of cancers in kids and young adults. Mm. So my specialty is looking after teenagers and young adults. And so I have a lot of, you know, people doing their HSC or just left school having treatment for sarcoma.
Okay. What are the numbers in Australia regarding approximately how many Australians do have sarcoma?
Yeah, sure. So it's about 2,500 patients are diagnosed per year.
Okay.
And so it's actually only about 1% of all cancer diagnoses across the whole of the country, which is why most people have not really heard of it. So out of those 2,500, about 200 of them will be in children and young adults, and the rest are spread across the age range through people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond.
And what sort of symptoms does it show?
Yeah, so the one thing about sarcoma is there's no, like, unique symptom that makes you think, okay, that patient's got sarcoma. A lot of the bone tumour patients, they present usually with some pain around a joint, which is a very non-specific symptom. And one of the problems is that most of the time when people get a pain in their knee, they don't think it's anything serious. It's just, you know, wear and tear or just an injury. But patients with sarcoma, their pain doesn't go away. In fact, it gets worse and often wakes them up at night. So those are for the bone tumours. For patients who develop sarcomas in the soft tissues, well, that can occur anywhere in the body. And it usually is a lump that appears somewhere in their body that grows. It doesn't necessarily have to be painful, but it's like a growing lump.
Is that internal or is it external on the skin?
Sometimes it's internal. It can be within the abdomen and, you know, you wouldn't be able to feel it or see it. But a lot of times it's in an arm or a leg, and you can see like lump growing in one of the muscles, like in your thigh muscle or calf.
And it's
muscle.
Closed tissue, so it's not open as a womb, is it?
Sorry, what was that? Sorry?
It's closed tissue, so it's not open as a sore growing.
That's
it's
right.
Just a lump,
yeah. It's not a sore. It doesn't usually break through the skin and bleed.
Okay.
But you might be running your hand up and down your leg and go, oh, that's a bit of a lump there.
Yeah, could be a sign of sarcoma.
And it doesn't have to be painful either.
Okay.
Most people, if it's painful, they'll go and see a doctor. But to be honest, with sarcoma, most of the time the lumps are not painful.
So people will ignore it, thinking, well, it's a lump and it'll probably go away.
That's right. Or they just say it's nothing. But we do say to people that if it's bigger than the size of a golf ball, they really should go and get it checked out.
Okay, yep. So there's a message. So how do we support? There's donations available for people to donate for sarcoma. We're talking about the sarcoma awareness month of July, yes? How do we do that?
So the best place to go is to go to the website sarcoma.org.au, and that's the website for the Australian New Zealand Sarcoma Association. And any donations would be gratefully received. And we use those donations to set up and run clinical trials, which we hope then will translate into better outcomes for patients diagnosed with sarcoma.
Okay, beautiful. Well, thank you very much for sharing, my friend, and all the best. And we'll yarn soon, Dr. Vivek.
Many thanks. Thanks for having me on your show.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So there it is, a beautiful yarn there with Dr. Vivek, a medical oncologist, and talking about critical work needed to advance patients diagnosed with sarcoma. I must admit I haven't heard of sarcoma, and good to be educated on this. So do go to the webpage if you want to support and donate all the W's and exactly how it's pronounced. Sarcoma, S-A-R, coma.org.au. Your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yana Strong? 1-800-422-416.
There was a friend of mine on murder. The judge's gavel fell. Jury found him guilty. Gave him 16 years in hell. Said, I ain't spending my life here. I ain't living alone. Breaking the rocks on your chain, man. Breaking out, heading home. I'm gonna make it jailbreak. And I'm looking towards the sky. I'm gonna make a jailbreak. How I wish that I could fly. All in the name of liberty.
Yothi Indy, Jailbreak here on your daily program, National Talk Black. We're going to go across to Barry Cedric. He's talking about coming up the light, July 1. Barry Cedric, good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Trevor.
How are you, brother?
I'm right up here in the Torres Strait. I've dreamed of coming up here for years, but
yes.
I'm finally here.
Good.
We're in the centre of a coming of the light ceremony here at beautiful TI on Thursday Island, and it just commemorates so many... years and years. Bishop, look, I've got the bishop who officiated the ceremony.
Lovely.
Here,
yes.
And he can tell you all about the coming of the light. Trevor, there are hundreds of people here from many different islands.
Thank you. Bishop,
yes?
Bishop, good morning. Trevor here, how are you?
I'll put you on to Bishop. His name is Bishop Freer, and he's a good mate of mine, but he officiated and he knows about the coming of the light ceremony.
Lovely.
I'll put him on to you.
Thank
Trevor
you.
Trevor Timms, BBM, and it's National Talk Black.
Oh, hello, Trevor.
Hello, no, Bishop,
no,
good
sir.
Morning. Good
no,
morning. Happy coming to light. All the best to you. Just give us a bit of background regarding coming to the light for our listeners. Thank you.
Oh, well, the coming of the light is the remembrance of when Christian missionaries first came to the Torres Strait, and they came to a beach called Kemos on Darnley Island, or Erub, in the 1st of July, 1870.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If that's the right date. I'll just check on that. But it was the... Yeah, no, I think I might be missing out. I'm getting them too early. You know, it was the 1st of July, 1871. So
okay.
That was the. This is the anniversary we're celebrating.
And celebrates every year on the 1st of July. The celebration is done.
1st of July, yeah.
Yep.
So it's the 173rd, 153rd anniversary this year.
Yes.
And but there were Melanesian missionaries who came from the South Pacific. From sort of somewhere near New Caledonia, and they came on a mission ship of the London Mission Society with a white missionary who is, you know, would have written some of the history down. But from there, really, the Torres Strait people picked up that Christian faith and they've carried it forward in many ways. So I think we're celebrating that. We're celebrating the 30th anniversary of the Torres Strait Regional Authority, which is an important place of voice and advocacy and recognition for Torres Strait people and their leadership in getting that agreement from the Australian government so they can have that kind of a local and authentic voice as part of their aspirations towards their sovereignty.
Thank you for sharing. I've got to head off. Thank you, Bishop. Your daily program, National Talk Black, Trinity Trip, signing off here for today's program. Thank you for your company, Mob. Stay tuned for the news, NIRS.
Find a lover in a bummer that will never break your heart. So good to you, I'll never give you up. On my way, I'll come and get you in my car.